Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome live on Tribe Family Channel 2. Suicide is not the answer. I'm Beverly Black, and I have my co-host with me, Kendi Andre. How are you doing, my brother?
Hello, 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 everyone. Hello, everyone. Once again, welcome to our show. I'm good, Beverly. and, you know, still blessed.
Amen. Amen. I am blessed as well. And to all of our listeners out there on the airwaves, we want to welcome you. We want you to feel empowered. Be sure to call in to 347-539-5285 if you're online listening from our studio, blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. And if you're listening online, feel free to switch over and call in or go from the call to online and follow our studio. We are a Gumbo for the Soul International family brand, and it is our honor to be here. Our advocacy is to help as many people as we can to overcome the struggle of depression and suicidal tendencies. And we encourage everyone to call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. That's 1-800-273-8255. Between myself and my co-host, Kendi Andre, we're going to enter into some pretty heavy dialogue with our guest. And Kendi, I know you're ready. I'm ready. And I'm going to tell our listeners a little bit about our guest before we bring her on. All right?
Okay. No problem. So,
sounds like a plan. And then, so Dr. Carolyn Rivers Cannon is a school social worker. And I know that this is going to be a very interesting conversation because Kendi Andre is an educator as well. She is from the Atlanta area and has devoted over 18 years to improving the lives of Georgia's school-aged population. Carolyn's pledge is to, she has a clear understanding of the multiple challenges that are encountered by our youth of today, as well as outside of the home, and has therefore vowed to be that voice of advocacy and understanding for all that she may come in contact with. Furthermore, she believes that all stakeholders play a vital role in the potential growth of the village. And so by always paving the way for change, by investing in the goals and objectives of those future leaders of tomorrow, that is where you will find Dr. Cannon. Hello, Tara Lynn. How are you? Welcome to Suicide is Not the Answer.
Thank you. Thank you. How are you all doing this evening?
Blessed. Like Kendi says, blessed. I can't think of another word, a better word than just to breathe and have an opportunity.
I certainly agree with that. That is a fantastic word to use because anytime we're able to wake up and smell the roses, so to speak, that is an opportunity to see another day and do it all over again.
Amen. Well, what I would love is I want my co-host to jump in here and tell our listeners a little bit about himself and his educational background. And then I want you, Dr. Carolyn Cannon, to do the same. And we're going to enter into the dialogue of suicide is not the answer. And I'm most interested in how each of your witnesses may correlate with the other. So, Kendi, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background so that Dr. Carolyn Cannon is privy to knowing a little bit about you.
Okay, again, welcome, Dr. Carolyn, on our platform. Welcome to the show. It's an honor to have you there. And, yes, as my colleague Beverly just said, that I have a background in education. I'm not going to talk about my whole background, and I'm not going through details. My name is Kendi Andre, and I'm 37 years old. Soon I'll be 38. And I have been raised in a family of educators in Haiti, my country, and we even have a family school back there where, as you know, in education, we prepare students to face the school of life. And I've been teaching for more than 10 years and in different levels because at first I started on my last year in high school, I started to teach in my parents' school because they wanted me to follow the path that the path of an educator. So I start teaching kids, let's say eighth graders, in mostly about the social aspect of the community. So how they have to deal with people, how they have to behave and everything, and how they have to be in society and in their community. Then I had the taste of education. I had a little taste about it, which made me, after I finished high school, I went to, it's two different fields, but I was mostly interested to the medical field and mostly deep in the medical field. It's like the doctor prescribes medications to patients, but I saw myself as the one behind the scene who helped the doctor to see what's going on in the patient. So I went to the chemistry school and I was also teaching chemistry because on my second year of chemistry, my grandfather, he thought about hiring me for the same school to be a chemistry teacher. And I also had an experience in the computers, and they hired me. It's like every school that I went for computers, for chemistry, for administration, and for all these, they hired me just to pass on what I learned from my school to students and even young adults. So for years I've been doing that, and this experience, this educational background that I had, led me to the human resources field, where I had to work with different age or different level of people, you know, different walks of life. So I get to know them better, And let's say I ended up to be a human resources specialist, but also still in the same education path. So I'm there to I used to be there to educate people to give them light about what's going on and to give them light about how they have to deal with the society. So this is me in a few words.
Wow. Excuse me. You know, I know that Dr. Carolyn can relate. Dr. Carolyn, tell our audience what you do and how you do it and where you do it. And I want to just kind of draw from both of your guys' background as to what we're encountering and what the kids and youth today, their challenges and how those challenges are being met.
I'm in the Atlanta area, as you shared. I am a school social worker in the Atlanta area. I cover at present a high school and an elementary school, which is, I know a lot of people are probably saying to themselves, wow, what a stretch or a reach. But it's an interesting climate. I've also done middle school as well. But when we're talking about this subject at hand, you know, suicide is not the answer. We see so much of that right now with our youth because of everything that's going on in society right now. So this is just such a phenomenally great topic to be talking about with everything going on. And doing that, being in school social work, we're talking about the mental health that is definitely at the forefront, as well as the social-emotional piece, which goes hand-in-hand together. And when we're thinking about the profession that I'm in right now, I could not be, as we use the word, blessed, because I do feel that I'm blessed to be in this role. Because being a school social worker, I have the opportunity to look at the whole child, seeing from the time they enter the door until the time they leave. being in this profession provides me with the opportunity with through the educational background that I have to look deep within, in the inside, and not just tapping on the surface of what's going on with our children of today and looking at each level and doing that. You know, a lot of times when our children come in and we're looking at them and noticing that they may have an attitude, so to speak, for lack of a better term, it's just so much more than that child having an attitude. A lot of our children have so much more going on with circled around the topic that we're talking with, which is circled around mental health, which gets to the causes that our children are looking at, unfortunately, feeling as though they have to take their lives, such as the homelessness, you know, being in abusive situations, unfortunately, things of that nature. So in my role as a school social worker, definitely getting into the crux of all of that. So, you know, having that scope view to look in the inside of all of that. So as a school social worker, it puts me right in the center of all of that, to take a look at everything that's going on and sharing that information with not only my colleagues as we share information, but the staff members as well, administrators, teachers, all of them together, and giving them a clearer understanding of what's going on with the child and the family as a whole. So that's just a little bit of what goes on with the school social worker.
Wow. Excuse me. What types of signs are the most prevalent, and at what age group would you say suicide has presented itself as far as your, you know, capabilities of seeing? What type of signs would you say you've seen displayed, and how young are these signs appearing?
Well, right now we're
that's
seeing
for you,
them
Dr.
as young as,
yeah,
as young as in elementary school. Unfortunately, when we are noticing our children, they are feeling that they're at a loss, and what I mean when I'm saying they're feeling at a loss, you notice their facial expression. When you potentially had a child that was coming in very happy and excited, now that child may become very withdrawn, giving you signs that they are no longer feeling in a happy place. Where they were having friends at one point, that is no longer going on. And I'm speaking of whatever elementary students, those are telltale signs with them. You can look at signs that can be where they're coming in as something as simple, where some people may say simple, and I don't want to use that terminology too loosely, where they're coming in with the same clothing on every day. You know, these are small things that lead up to larger things if you're not very careful and very tuned into some of those things that go on. You may have a child that may experience bullying that can lead to suicide also. So when a child reaches out to say that someone is bothering them, and they'll use that terminology in elementary school, those are things that we have to check out. And bullying can occur on all levels as well. But when we're looking at elementary, those are some telltale signs for that age group. And it builds on even up to high school with our students as well.
Did you have any comments or questions on that point, Kendi?
For now, no. But I'll add. But in my research, as Dr. Carolyn said, there's a lot of signs that as educators we have. That's why they say that as educators we have to pay attention to the kids. Normally, there are the challenges that a school-age child can have that nobody talks about, and they even don't talk about it. You know, there is the social politics side problems. There's the fact that, you know, some activities in the school, they feel like challenged by these activities, and sometimes they even have to answer to increasingly complicated questions, you know, some kids, they want, it's like for them, the fact that they don't have this confidence in themselves, they can't answer some questions in school. They don't feel comfortable to tell their parents that I've been asked that question and I couldn't answer to it, you know, because for them, it's like failure, you know. And there's also the fact that there's so many opinions. Like, you know, there's a lot of children nowadays, they are very opinionated. And this is a great thing, you know. But the thing is, hitting school age means sometimes more, it means more opinions and stronger opinions. So sometimes there are kids, they have challenges at home, they have personal challenges, you know, and even if they're very young, they have their own challenges, but they don't have the let's say, this capabilities that we as adults, we have to share what we have or just to go to talk to someone. So this is our role as educators to pay attention to them and see how we can open a door for them, let's say open a line for them so they can talk about the problem. There's also the fashion battle. It's like, you have a kid and then you buy, an example, you buy a pair of sneakers for them. And then they said, oh, no, mom, or no, dad, I'm not wearing this, you know? But you as an able, you don't understand why, you know? But kids in between them, they have these challenges, or, you know, some friends may challenge them, or I have this pair of Nike, or I have this. You know, some kids nowadays, kids, they know about brands. I got to tell you, they know about brands. We all know that. So the fashion battle is a problem, and the fact that sometimes they've been stuck in between stages, you know, sometimes they often, like, they even overestimate just how big they are, you know, or sometimes they feel that, you know, they don't have the attention they deserve from their parents. They don't have any attention from their friends, you know. They think that this feeling of exclusion, you know, there is all this.
Wow.
That is a whole package in school that kids, they will not share them automatically, but they have to feel the confidence. They have to feel that someone is open to them. And sometimes the parents don't understand that, but the teacher, the educator, is mostly the person that the kids go to, you know, to share these problems. You know, I'm just to add to what Dr. Carolyn was saying.
Right. Well, it's very important that, like you said, the educators recognize the signs and actually just be aware, like Dr. Carolyn was saying, you know, you'll see a child that is joyful, and then, you know, when you see them and their joy is gone, and I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, that's the word that I like to use, because I refuse to, while raising my children, have their joy robbed from them. When you take away someone's joy, that's like the pep in their step, their reason for living, their inner happiness is their joy. And when you don't see that light on in their inner happiness, you have to wonder what has dimmed that light. Dr. Charlin, what are some of the commonalities amongst children that you see coming through? We know bullying is on the top tier, but what are some of the other commonalities and struggles that our youth are dealing with that you see coming through the school?
The biggest thing that they have right now is, as we know, social media can be great, and then social media can be extremely dangerous. And when we look across the board, that is at the top of the list. A lot of times our children don't understand, and which I always try to explain to them, that when you put something on social media, it does not go away. You can change your tag name. You can switch it around to different variations, but it does not go away. And they don't understand that. So when you put words out there and then you guys decide you're going to be friends later and say, you know, it was in a rage or anger or frustration, I really didn't mean it, you can't take that back. You really can't take that back. And you want to roll it back, but at that point it's really too late to take that back. So when you put that out there, you're putting yourself in a position that I just want you to take some time to think about it. And we know that these are kids. They truly are. So it's up to us to teach them a better way or a different way to look at things. I always share with my students that I need for you to kind of look further than what's going on right here, right now in front of you. And it's all about teaching them and helping them to learn and understand a better way of doing things. None of us are perfect, but we always try to strive for perfection each day. And that's the statement that I use because even as adults, we do the same thing. We have to learn. When we know better, we do better, if you will. But that social media piece, it's such a huge, huge piece. And then the second part of that is the statement is a commonality with our students. And I go back to elementary because if I were to compare 5 years ago to now, when we look at the statements that our children make, probably on the elementary side, our elementary students were not making statements like they're making now. I just had a case just about a week ago where a young lady came to me and she was just in tears because of her friend, her best friend, made a statement that truly hurt her feelings, and she made the statement that she wanted to kill herself. Now, granted, that was not what she really wanted to do, but there's so much power in that statement, and then we have a protocol that we have to follow, because when we look at what's going on right now, we have to follow the protocol steps that are in place because you never know what can take place. And you have to ensure that our children are safe. You have to ensure.
Well, we surely can't. I'm sorry, yes. Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, to your point, we surely can't. You can't second guess someone's depth of pain. And when you know that someone has express something like that, you have to go into action. You definitely have to take that as a serious warning sign. There are, according to the Suicide Prevention Resource Center, immediate risk of suicide and serious risk. And I'm just going to name them. The immediate risk is when someone is talking about wanting to die or kill themselves, or looking for a way to kill themselves, such as searching online or obtaining a gun, and talking about feelings of hopelessness or no reason, having no reason to live. Those are the immediate risks, and that should prompt you to immediately call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And again, that number is 1-800-273-TALK, 1-800-273-8255. For those of you that are just tuning in, this is Suicide is Not the Answer. I'm Beverly Black, hosting with Kendi Andre, and our guest is Dr. Carolyn Rivers Cannon. She is a professional, well, I wanted to say therapist, but let me say she is a school social worker, but she is a professional in this area of working with children on so many levels in the area that she works in, social work. So we're just discussing how many signs that children display. Now, Dr. Carolyn, you mentioned social media, and to me, social media, the last thing that social media is social. Social media is about the most anti-sociable entity that you can ever encompass, because everyone is all gathered there, but no one's really sociable. Everyone is there to be seen or to show something or to see something, but the interaction is quite volatile and dangerous when you think in terms of the playing field that we're in today. Like you said, you can be in the heat of the moment and mad at a person and put something out there on social media, but no matter how you switch it up and change it up and try to delete it, it's still there. And words cannot be taken back, just like the toothpaste can't go back in the tube. Once it's out, it is out. And hurtful words can lead to people wanting to hurt themselves. So we have to be careful with our choice of words, and we really have to monitor our children when it comes to social media and when it comes to their sense of, like Kendi refers to, their self-esteem, their sense of pride, who they are, because children will seek out validation. If they're not getting that validation from home, they're seeking it out because everyone has a yearning to fit in, to be okay, to get your opinion, to know that this is good, that this looks good or sounds good or whatever someone's it may be. They're looking to have that it validated. A lot of people have different agendas, wanting to use anti-social media for popularity, for bullying, for all the wrong reasons. And so it is up to us as the adults in the room to know what is happening with our children at, you know, at these critical times, social media, on-site at the school, and what have you. Now, Dr. Terlin, what are some of the challenges that you know of, and how can we help parents overcome those challenges when it comes to being able to be hands-on? I remember the challenges that I faced was work, being able to get off work, being able to arrange to leave school early to be at, or excuse me, leave work early to go up to the school for, you know, back to school night. That was big for me because you go meet all of the teachers and let them know that there's an expectation that runs both ways. But what are some of the struggles that you see that parents encounter that's preventing them from being as hands-on and as aware of what's happening with their students?
And that is just as you shared, work, because we know that parents have to remain employed. But my suggestion is always, if at all possible, if you have a neighbor or a close friend that you entrust with your children, or extracurricular activities are always a benefit as well. I don't mind. When I think about this topic in itself, and when we think about 41,000 individuals die by suicide each year, that's an alarming number. That number is huge.
It's so, a lot. That is like, I mean, four too many. But when you think of something on that grand of a scale and the lives that are being lost, that is just an exponential rate of suicide that just has to be curtailed. We have to keep doing something about it.
Definitely. You know, when we begin to look at statistical numbers and all of those things, you have to really take different things into consideration, and that's a large number overall. So when you begin to break those numbers down even more, like, for example, there are 123 suicides each day in this country. So when we pull all those things apart and we start looking at our school-age children, we want to always think about, how can we keep these minds active? How can we possibly keep these minds active? You know, my grandmother used to say, idle minds And when we think about that, we always want to keep them busy, keep them thinking about something as positive as we can. So those extracurricular activities, teaming up with a friend or a relative, a parent, someone that can keep them going and keep them moving forward, doing something, some type of activity as possible, or pairing them up with a teacher, a friend, as I stated. Those things are a benefit because parents do have to work, and that's the reality of it. Some parents work two jobs, and then some of our children have to take care of their younger siblings, and that is a reality of the world that we live in today right now as well. So those are things that we look at and keeping them. So that is a big plus when we're looking at this topic in itself. So that's the biggest thing that we certainly do run into.
Wow. Kendi, what are some of the things that you saw in terms of what Dr. Carolyn Cannon just said? What are some of the relatable signs that you saw amongst the youth?
Okay, I'll go. I'll go back to the social media part because Dr. Carolyn is absolutely right about it. Because now we see that our kids, and especially in elementary school, they kind of, it's like their focus is more about video games, YouTube, you know, let's say video games and YouTube. Remember, like, recently this problem that we had that occurred, this Momo thing that occurred that will tell your children. The children might be watching a game called Roblox on YouTube because that's what they do now. Children, they don't play video games as they used to do before. Now it's like they mm-hmm. go on YouTube and they're watching something, someone playing the game. And then mm-hmm. just in a few seconds or in a few minutes, this horrible, you know, character come and tell them to do things to themselves and threaten them if they don't do it, they're going to come after them. So this is one of the things that shows how dangerous social media is now. And this is, social media has the benefit for the professional world, for the business world, but mostly for, you know, in different aspects. But it is also dangerous when we don't know how to use it. And that's why I remember I made one of the motivational videos I made, and maybe one of the last videos I made, I advised to parents to try to learn themselves how to use these things. How you can have your kids having a tablet or phone, going through social media, Instagram, Snapchat, all these, you know, platforms, and you don't know how to use them. Because this is one of the ways that we parents and even educators, we will know what they're doing. And we will know where to tell them not to go and where to tell them that, okay, you can do this, you know? And also, the extracurricular activities, we know that they're all parents, they're pretty old school. I gotta tell you this. Me personally, I didn't used to attend to extracurricular activity when I was younger, when I was in elementary school, because my parents, for them, I go to school and I go back home. That's it. If one day I decide not to go back to school, I mean, when I started to go back from school by myself, if one day I decide to stay in one of these activities, that will be automatic whooping for me, you know? So nowadays things tend to change, and we know that the mind of a child is 5 years from 5 years to now, the mind of a child, it evolved a lot. It evolved like pretty fast. So the first seven of a child, as the doctor, Dr. Mentak Kia, he said that these first 7 years, the kid will just observe. It's like they're recording everything that is happening around them. And around them doesn't mean only in the household. In the school environment, in the streets, on social media, on the type of movies they're watching, you know, they observing, and this is for them like a puzzle they're going to put together, and they're going to start to think in a certain way. And this is why I posted that quote on my page, It Was Legacy, where I said, children must be taught how to think, but not what to think. Because if you, an example, you punish your child, I mean, that could be you send them in a corner or no video games for the week or no TV for the weekend. The child sometimes thinks that, okay, my mom hates me, or why me all the time? Why is my older sister can be punished and I'm the one who's being punished all the time? This is what the child will think. But once we, as parents or educators, we open that line for them and we tell them, this is why I'm punishing you. And this is not because I don't love you, but this is because I want you to listen. So you talk to them. You have this communication. You have this conversation with them. Now, the kid will know how to think. Oh, my mom punished me because maybe I did wrong. And they will know automatically how to say I'm sorry. They will know automatically, you know, how to find for forgiveness. And also for the extracurricular activities, Dr. Tarleton, I have to thank you to say that on the line, because parents, they need to know that our children, they need to be moving, as you said. Their mind has to be working. Their mind has to be, you know, this is how they evolve. Because kids, they get bored easily. They get bored easily. And in the house, the only way for them not to get bored is just go on a laptop or find a video game, playing Fortnite, because I know all these video games, they play Fortnite with everything. That's the way for them not to get bored. But if you parent, okay, you say, today's Friday, or you're going to be released early today from school, we're going to the library, you know, or we're going to the museum, or we're going to watch a sci-fi movie, or we're going to watch an educational movie. Like last time, there's this movie of The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind. I think there's a book about that, too. I watched it with two kids, and they learned a lot about it, you know?
So
wow. That yeah. Go and watch sci-fi movies, watch some, you know, some shows on Netflix where they can't learn anything. So we are the one who have to tell them, oh, okay, I would suggest, okay, the weekend is coming. That's why I think the weekend is coming. I would suggest you go over that list of movies so you can tell me on Monday when you come back to school, tell me what you learned from it. You know, if kids can't stay, sometimes, I don't know, maybe because of a matter of distance where they live, sometimes it's not even their parents that pick them up from school. They have a driver or the driver can't allow them to stay. But as educator or guardian, I would say, we can just go over it. Okay, if you're going to watch a movie this weekend, or if you have Netflix, or if you go on YouTube, because they're always on YouTube, I got to tell you this, kids, they know everything. If they have a question, best believe that they already have an element of answer to that question, because they're going to have a discussion with you once you answer to the question. This is an experience that I've been having with a 9-year-old who is very opinionated about what she's saying and also the questions she's asking. So we tell them to go over a list of movies, try to learn something. It's still the extracurricular activity that is not happening in the school only, but it can also be extended to the home of the kid too. That's what I want to share.
You know, and it's very, very important. I want to allow Dr. Tarleton to respond if she likes or to add on. But the activities that our children are involved in, not only are they important, but Kendi, you said a mouthful right there, because it is very important for us to engage in activities with our children and to be on their level, to engage and make time to do things that our children like to do. It may seem silly to us, but we're adults. We've come through that age, but we need to be able to experience the different growth levels and learning levels that our children will go through, and enjoy those levels, enjoy being relatable and finding interactive activities to take part in our children's growth, development, learning, and get to know our children. We're so into getting to know other people. Oh, he looks so fine. I sure want to know him. Oh, look at her. She makes his big toe stand up in his boot. Want to get to know her. But people, when do they take the time to really get to know what makes their child tick? What does your child like doing? Like you were saying, Kendi, don't teach your children what to think. Teach them how to think, and get inside their mind to find out what it is that they do think about, and how they see the world and their view of what's taking place. But most importantly, in knowing how our children tick, make sure, parents, if you're just tuning in, this is Suicide Is Not the Answer. I'm Beverly Black, my co-host Kendi Andre, and Dr. Terilyn Rivers Cannon is our guest. And what I would like to say is, most of all to the parents, be aware of your child's personality and their likes, what they have a passion for, when you see the light go on. It doesn't always have to be, oh, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be right now? What do they have a passion for? And you help with that passion so that they can see that you really care about what they like. It's not, oh, I want you to be like this person or that person or this star. You have to show them that they're a star inside of themselves first, before they look out into the world and see its makeup and what everyone else is doing, because every child has a gift inside of themselves, and it is up to us to help them develop that gift and to know it is there. Dr. Terilyn, what about you, sister friend? Because you say me and Kendi, we long-winded. You better jump on in here.
No. Let me tell you, I was just absorbing and taking it in because I was reflecting upon something that my youngest son shared. And when we mm-hmm. talk about this subject, the word hope is just like neon flashing light. And the reason that it's neon flashing light is because when a child has hope, it carries them such a long way. And I want to share an example. My son, my youngest son, we were in here at home talking, and he shared an experience from a classmate, and they were in class, and the professor shared with the young man that he had done a great job and gave him many accolades. So the young man began to have tears falling from his face, and the professor looked at him and said, "Are you okay?" And the young man's response was, "No one had ever said those words to me before." He was in college. And it's simple things like that. And I use simple because things that we take for granted, and I'm using we speaking to everyone that is tuned in to this broadcast, because we take those things lightly, but they carry such great magnitude for longevity. They carry individuals, male or female, such a long way because you don't realize how embedded they are. Just imagine how deep that was in that young man. We don't know what path he was being carried on, and that could have broke a cycle within him at that moment in time from hearing something as simple, once again, as job well done, followed by other accolades that he received from his college professor. See, that builds the persistence that he would need. That lets him know that now he can have a commitment to go on, and therefore he has a hope that he can build upon dreams to further himself and to do something for a better tomorrow.
Amen, amen, amen. You know, and I want to add to that, for our parents that are listening, don't wait until your child is sitting down with their professor. When you said professor, I'm thinking to myself, professor, this is an adult. If someone is sitting down with their professor, this is an adult sitting in the class of another adult. Parents, edify your children. Tell them while they're babies. I mean, it's so very important, because you have to build their self-esteem. And hurt people hurt people. So we have to be aware of ourselves and what we carry around, because that bleeds into our relationships, parenting or otherwise. And we have to be cognizant of the energy that we're passing on to our children and the lack of. So don't wait until your child is sitting in someone's classroom for them to hear that they've done a great job, or don't let your child get the edification that they need out. I'm going to keep it real out there in those streets. Let's just get real, real here. This is Tribe Family Channel. So if we're family, I should be able to talk to you like that. Don't let your children have to go out in the streets and find the undergirding that they need from the gang and the or same sex. You got a man that has never been hugged by his father, but he finds comfort in the arms of another man because he hasn't been edified, or a woman that hasn't been held by her mother, so she's in the arms of another woman, and not because she wants to be, but because she is looking for her mother in another woman. So I am saying this because, and I'm not homophobic or judging, what I am saying, and I want to be very clear about it. What I am saying is, whatever a child doesn't find at home, they will look for in those streets. So it is up to us as parents to make sure that we are in tune with our children's needs, period. So with that being said, what are some of the solutions that have been offered in your environment as a school social worker, Dr. Terrilyn? What are some of the solutions to the problems that you're seeing at the school that are being offered through your social work, some of the direct actual actions that can be taken or being taken?
Within the school setting, we provide for the immediate, we're going to certainly provide short-term, what we call crisis intervention, where we're definitely bringing our students in and having conversations with them, assessing the situation to measure their safety. If they're in immediate danger, we are calling the crisis hotline and our mental health unit to come out to additionally assess them, because if they need to go into the hospital, we certainly want to get them there to get the services they're needed. And, of course, we're calling their parent or guardian as well. Additionally, we provide wraparound services for them to get them that extended counseling and ongoing counseling that they would need also. Once again, always ensuring that we're touching base with the parent and guardian to ensure that, you know, we're having a smooth transition with them and checking in on them to make sure that they're adjusting as well with everything that's going on. And also if they are being placed on any medications of any type, and it's not something that a parent or guardian has to do, but if they are on medications, then we're pulling our nurse in from the school, because we need to have a team meeting where the administrators and myself, of course, and the nurse is pulled in to know what's going on. Additionally, if a child is hospitalized, upon that child's return, we have what is called a safety plan meeting, because the team players, those individuals that I've just stated, which is the administrator, myself as a school social worker, as well as the nurse, and then another designee, which would be a lead teacher, need to be notified and informed also, because there may be some triggers for that student that we need to be aware of. And if there are, we need to set up safety measures or precautions. So if there is a trigger, then we need to set some alternative plans to ensure that that child has a smoother transition throughout the day as possible. And those are some of the things that we put in place to ensure that, as I said, the best thing or our reaction is safety first. And we want our children to have the best quality as possible, because their education is certainly important. And we don't want them to feel like they're being labeled or out of sorts in any way, because the worst thing you can do to a child is make them feel as though they're not, quote unquote, normal. And children don't want to feel that way either. They want to feel just like they're with their friends, their peers, and just enjoying themselves, and they deserve that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Definitely. All right, all right. Well, we are just about coming up to the top of the hour, and our time is wrapping up, but I want to definitely remind everyone that you are tuned into Suicide is Not the Answer. And if you know someone, or if you are someone that has felt suicidal, we encourage you that suicide is not the answer, and that the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255 is here. We want you to call that number and to reach out for help. Suicide is not the answer. And we're just excited that God has allowed us to be able to use our voices and use this platform and to be a beacon of hope. Like Dr. Carolyn said, the word is hope. And we have lost Dr. Tara Lynn. Her call dropped off, and here she's back. So thank you for reconnecting, Dr. Tara Lynn. We were just saying that, or I was just saying that, the word you use, the word hope, that is what we are just blessed to be able to reinforce and to provide. So we want to go around, and that was kind of like my final comments, thanking everyone for just making this possible. I want to offer any final comments that you may have, Dr. Tara Lynn, and where our listeners can find you. And you can definitely find me at GumboForTheSoulInternational.com or on the radio at blogtalkradio.com/GumboForTheSoul. Dr. Tara Lynn, any final comments?
My final comment would be the word hope. Hold on to hope. There is always help. Reach out to those who are near and close to you, and never be afraid to turn up the volume. And I like to use that term, turn up the volume, because when you use your voice, then there is help and assistance out there for you. As far as how you can contact me, you can reach me by email, katie.8.1942@gmail.com, or you can follow me at Dare to Soar with Dr. RC on the VBM Global Network and TuneIn Radio.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Hanging on to hope as our word of this day, and I'm so thankful and grateful that you had the time to take with us and tell everyone about the amazing work that you're doing for over 18 years, improving the lives of Georgia's school-age population. And again, I want to thank you for being here with Ken DeAndre and myself. Ken DeAndre, I know you have some good words to send us on home with.
Anybody who's listening can go on my page, A Warrior's Legacy. It's on Facebook. I'm about to post a video that tells about how we should be with our children, that tells about suicide, so we can have an idea about what we're doing, about the movement. Suicide is not the answer. So I'm on Ken DeAndre on Facebook. This is my personal page. A Warrior's Legacy is our platform. And I'm a photographer also, AndresKPhotography.com. I think that's it. Thank you, Beverly. And thank you, Dr. Carolyn, for being part of the show.
Thank you both.
Thank you. Thank you both so very, very much. And we're going to continue with our mission here on Suicide is Not the Answer. We will be back here on June 11th, and our guest will be the CEO of NAMISavannah.org, and that's the National Association for Mental Illness, Savannah, Georgia. And his name is Mr. Jared Campbell will be our guest, the CEO of the National Alliance or National Association. I really need to get it together and see which one it is. The National Alliance on Mental Illness in Savannah, NAMISavannah.org. And once again, Dr. Carolyn, can you give our listeners your email address? I know that you don't you have some books out? Uh-oh, she dropped off again. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and let that be the end of the show. Thank you so much for listening again. Thank you, Ken DeAndre, and my brother. I'll be looking for you online. Amen. I appreciate you. You know, we couldn't do this without you. So we're going to keep on keeping on and keeping the hope that we are able to give through our messages and through our time and through our ministries and our advocacy. All right?
Yes, yes. Right. God bless everyone. Good night. Good night.
Good night, and be blessed, and just continue to share hope and live life. 1-800-273-8255, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Be blessed and be a blessing. Talk to you all later. God bless. Good night, Kendi. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Good night, Beverly.
Hey guys, it's me, Michelle Berard, host of Somewhere in the Middle and founder and CEO of Urban Book Editor, LLC. Are you feeling like you're stuck and can't move forward? Have you been struggling to birth a big goal like a book or a business? Are you feeling overwhelmed and looking to make changes in your career? If you're at all like me, when that deer in headlights feeling hits you, you just don't know where to begin. Yeah, you can talk with friends or family, but when you're in need of an objective opinion, it helps to speak with someone who's prepared to listen and to provide practical guidance to help you move forward. That's where a coach comes in. That's why I'm so excited to share with you that energy worker and coach Julia Black and I have teamed up to help you get unstuck and start moving towards your goals again. And to make it easy for you, we're offering a complimentary call with one of us to help you start moving forward. All you have to do is go to WeRiseMovement.com to schedule your free insight and inspiration call with either Julia or me. The insight and inspiration call can help you get clear about your goals, uncover hidden challenges that may be hindering your progress, discover steps you can take today to move toward accomplishing your goals, and you'll leave the session feeling renewed, re-energized, and inspired to take action. Visit WeRiseMovement.com and schedule your free insight and inspiration call today. That's WeRiseMovement.com.
Faith is in the dirt, I'm yelling, this ain't my realm, I'm a fallen angel. This ain't my realm, I'm a fallen angel.
As I walk amongst the kings of this earth, falling from the heavens, now my faith is in the dirt, I'm yelling, this ain't my realm, I'm a fallen angel. This ain't my realm, I'm a fallen angel. Fallen angel.
I'm off the forsaken, for we
in our souls are the turkeys that he's facing.
As I walk amongst the kings of this earth, falling from the heavens, now my face is seen in dirt. I'm yelling, this